Yeehaw, Chapter 1.
Sam Clopton is looking for a cow hunter. Roger studied his parents' faces for reaction. The last time they sat in silence at the table was after news reached them that his grandfather died of fever. Roger tried again. Davy Anderson says Clopton is close to planning a cattle drive. He looked to his mother, but she simply stared ahead. He wondered if they knew his thoughts, his sudden desire to, at least for a while, become a cattleman. His father reached across the table, his gaze upon a biscuit. "It's $1 a day, and I thought," Roger ventured, "not about joining the drive, but maybe I could work for Clopton, here in the county, for a few weeks, until he has a herd." It came to Roger slowly that some calamity might have befallen the family, the neighbors, or possibly the country. "If you think it's too dangerous for me, remember I turned 17 3 months ago. They could hardly forget, because he mentioned the milestone every few weeks. They were all well aware of his determination to prove himself somehow, conquer some task, and set a meaningful course for himself. To this point in his life, that meant growing into heavier responsibilities on the farm. His father recently allowed him to help fell a big tree, a dangerous job previously forbidden. His father, back from a visit that day to the McCoyne place and a chat on the road with a land speculator, looked to the table. His mother looked to his father, put her hand on his, and he eventually spoke. "Mike McCoyne is laid up, maybe for good. He's going to need our help. He told me Rosa Lee is going away to find work and send money home." The McCoynes were near neighbors, and the girl, a favorite of Roger's parents. 19 years old, beautiful, and kind, she was even more dear to Roger. Suddenly anxious, he said, "Her mother's not 6 months dead. He looked to his own mother. "Where will Rosa Lee go?" The response, which he did not expect, was her rise and retreat from the table to stare out the closest window, where she reached out, as though in a dream, to touch a curtain. His father responded just above a mumble. "You might hear a rumor about that, Roger. Don't believe it." His gaze met his son's. "People say a lot of things, and people just don't know. Your mother and I don't know where she is going. Gossip can cause a lot of harm, especially to people who believe it when it's not true." Roger asked, "When is she leaving?" "She's already gone, son." Sam Clopton was part Indian. He looked half-breed, and the pioneer families treated him as such. Since the war started, by consensus, and then by law, Indians were cut out of the cattle business. Clopton was in and out of it all his life. When he was 14, he got separated from his family and was conscripted, forced at gunpoint into the Confederate cow cavalry. He helped deliver herds to Georgia. He was rumored since to be an occasional rustler and cow hunter who sometimes, casually, disrespected brands. He moved about in the country, camped, fished, and did a little trapping for trade. He was tolerated because he, quote, "fought on the right side," unquote. He was approachable and civil, but reticent with strangers and the locals who disliked Indians. He was in his 40s now, with no family and a year into a plan he formulated when he learned about opportunity out west in a place called Punta Raza. They had a telegraph line to Havana that secured the highest prices and shortest pen holding time for cows ready for a ship. They paid for cattle with Spanish gold. He confirmed the news with a personal visit to the market. He determined that day to get as many head together as possible, drive them, sell them at Punta Raza, and make his fortune.